Let me affectionately welcome all of you. I'm greatly honored to address you this evening. I remember exactly a year ago, we had a presentation on spiritual singing here in the university, and it was quite something. The people who were here were really participating. And I do hope that we will be able to create an experience this evening which is similarly very uplifting. And I would like really to give you something which is also lasting, something which you can take along when you go out of this university building and practice in your life. Let me first of all introduce my own access, or how I came in contact with meditation. I had been a monk for maybe 15 years when my spiritual teacher decided to call me or invite me into a new dimension of my spiritual life, meditation. He gave me seven very powerful mantras, that is, words to meditate on thrice a day, in the morning, and just before sunrise, in the midday time, around 12 o'clock, and in the evening, just before the sun set, or during that time when the dusk set in. So three times a day, I was stopping everything I did, traveling, lecturing with people, to people, writing, and sitting down and meditating. And it was quite a challenge in the beginning to really stop everything I did and sit down. Sometimes I sat down in the midst of a town on a bench, in the midst of the Himalaya mountains on a rock near a river. One time I was in a zoo, and the time came when we were just before the lion cage and I sat down to meditate with the lion looking at me from behind the bars. So, but what I began to experience after I had been a little bit familiar, maybe after a week, was something so wonderful that I didn't like to miss it. What I experienced is I went into a totally different space, refreshed and energized myself there, and then came back to whatever it was that I was doing and brought, so to say, the energy of that space or the realization which I had just made with me into my activities. I can only describe it to you with an analogy. Imagine, in the midst of what someone is doing, he decides to walk into a perfumery. Is that an English word? Where they have esoteric and nice-smelling perfumes. He enters the space, refreshes himself entirely by smelling or inhaling the smell, maybe the smell of rose flowers, and then comes out of that experience and is fragrant like a rose bush, because he just was in the perfumery. was giving lectures in Persia, there were these ancient perfumeries where they had these very expensive perfumes. I think they used a whole rose garden, just such a bottle full of first-class perfume. And when you would go into there, you would think, my God, I'm in a rose garden. I'm totally somewhere else. And people would smell when you came back. I remember my friends, they're amazed. Oh, you smell so good. I thought, I was grateful for the compliment. So this is only how I can describe to you meditation. You move out of your ordinary space into an energizing, refreshing experience which calms you down and which helps you to enter the sacred dimension. And then you come out a newborn person. You have a different effect on your environment, and you see things in perspective. There was once a poet, he was a painter, but he was also an astronomer, and he wrote also. I don't even know what he was not. He was such an all-around genius. His name was Leonardo da Vinci. Maybe some of you have heard about him in the art school. So he used to compare life with what a painter does when he makes a painting. He says we all are painting on the painting of our life. From time to time, we need to learn this little skill of stepping back, because only from the distance we gain the perspective over the painting of our life. We see here it lacks proportion. The harmony is missing. I started to paint something which really doesn't fit in the overall composition. Let me cross it out with bold strokes and put something more befitting in there. So he advises, step back and gain perspective. And without maybe meditating himself, he had given us a good definition of meditation. Step out of the busyness, of the hectic, of especially London life. You can't believe I'm a simple village boy, a monk from the mountains, and coming into your town, it is quite something, you see more colors and more, you are exposed to more things within 10 minutes than you are normally exposed to a whole year. I can imagine that you are sometimes stressed out by London. So if you meditate, learn to meditate, you make a distance to your life, and when you enter it new, you enter it with calmness, with perspective, with inspiration, and with that sacred flavor in your life, which makes all the difference. That was my experience, but I needed to understand a little bit what does exactly happen in meditation. And I want to explain it to you and then invite you for an experience where you go deeper into meditation and make your own discovery there. Is that all right? You are awed by my accent, I think. Any meditational process is a two-way street. First, when we start, we become aware of our own body, the sensations in the body, and then after having increased our awareness really of what is going on in your life, in our lives, we withdraw and we become now aware of our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, both the inspiring ones and the ones which may be a little burdening, like a natural anxiety about the upcoming exam for which we have not really learned so well. No? So then we withdraw from there, we leave it behind, and we go deeper inside of ourselves. And we start to dwell in what we could call our authentic self, which is like a tranquil lake where there is a sense of calm and peace, and where there are many, many wonderful things which I will talk about a little later. This is the first way. It's almost like walking through three rooms which each has a different set of furniture. The first room is the space, the physical space, the body, the way you look, your hairstyle, your health, your physical well-being. You become aware of it. It's very nice to become aware of it and not be so unconscious. Then you go further in your journey and you come into the space of your mind, your emotions, your feelings. You just become aware, almost from the distance, as if you walk through the room and you see everything which is in the room, but you are not really relating at this moment. You just witness what is there, you see it in a neutral way. And then you come to that space which so little people nowadays know to inhabit, that space of the authentic self, where really you are all right, where you are perfect, where you are eternal, full of great bliss and happiness, and full of knowledge. After you have been there, please remember my example of the perfumery. You go back into your life. You take something from there with you, and you go into your mental space. And you know what happens. You start to put things in order there. You start to look at the irritating emotions, if there were any, and from a distant perspective of perfection, and they dissolve. Your fears dissolve. Meditation is an effective way to do before you go into surgery, for instance. You lose your fears. I mean, you still might need a little anesthesia. I wouldn't recommend to not have, but only masters of meditations do not need it. But you lose your fear, you lose your anxiety, you lose your insecurity, and instead you have conscious awareness and a deep abiding peace. And then you go with a peaceful mind into your external life, exterior life. And it is seen, people who meditate and who come from this space become not only emotionally nice, they also become physically very, very attractive and different. I remember I had once a servant, an assistant. His name was Gaur Gopal. There's a famous Gaur Gopal who puts many, many interesting, very useful spiritual videos onto the internet, but this was not the same person. My assistant traveled. He was a driver and he arranged the programs for me. He was like a secretary. And once, after a particularly intense tour, he went with me to Berlin. And I said, okay, you have a whole day free now. Relax a little. You drove so much. We did so much. We need to relax. And he told me when he came back from the park, an amazing experience. He had sat down on a park bench and just entered meditation. All of a sudden, someone hit him on the nose, boom, and drew blood. He was bleeding from the nose. What had happened? There was a homeless person. Do we say in English homeless person? And he had seen him meditating, and he looked so calm and peaceful that the homeless person thought, oh, he is so happy and peaceful and I'm not. Fate is so cruel to me, but I can't beat faith. I can only beat this meditating monk. He had this feeling, and this hit him on the nose. Gopal came out of the meditation and he looked at him and asked, can I help you, sir? And the homeless man, within a second, thought, oh no, what have I done? He's so kind. He's so good. Why have I done this? What came over me? I thought he would now beat me. So the homeless man said, just a second. He put his bags down. He went and bought some fruit juice and gave it to Gopal. He said, I'm terribly sorry, but you have... I don't even know how to explain, and then he explained everything. So Gopal said, I have a good training in martial arts. I was a martial arts specialist, but because I'm meditating now, I don't feel aggression. I don't feel any longer anger. And even in this situation, where usually I would have dissected this man into 3,108 bones and sent it to the laboratory, I had no feeling of anger. I only felt something is disturbing this man. Maybe I can help him. Meditation is very strong. It works very much on helping you overcome stress, distress, depression, anger, and so on. I'm not saying that every one of you should react in the same way. Maybe you would have said to that homeless man, please don't do this again. Otherwise, my martial arts tendency will be too much agitated. I'm just saying, even in trying circumstances, this is what the example shows. A person who meditates is situated in the self, and by knowing how to act, he is really moving a lot into the world. He is doing enlightened work. He can do something for the betterment in anyone who comes in contact with him is in some ways or another changed. I've experienced this many, many, many times. As I did more and more research, I learned, my dear people, that the art of meditation is part of a whole transformative process. It starts, it's a classical path of yoga. Before I go, I will not go into it in detail, but it starts in changing your attitude towards yourself, changing your attitude towards the world and others. It progresses in doing something for your health by learning asanas or yogic exercises. Then you learn the art of pranayama, a certain breath which helps you to enter into the mind and get to know many things about this. And finally, you enter different states of spiritual absorption, deep, deep abiding absorption, where at the end you actually meet the Self and the Supreme Self, God, Krishna, as you see him right in the center of your heart. Sometimes when I do international travels, the police border control, they check me, and I'm always dressed like this. And after they have clarified my passport or I've gotten the clearance, they ask, what do you have on your head? Is it that a bird was flying over you? Please excuse us, we are a little ignorant of such matters. I said, no, unfortunately not. I have done this myself. They say, what does it mean? I'm saying, I'm meditating, and I'm entering each day the temple of my heart. Normally you find this sign on a temple which you enter to have maybe a religious or spiritual experience. But a meditator has realized that he lives in the temple of his own body. And therefore he makes this temple sign here and reminds him to every day meditate and go deep, deep inside in the temple of the heart, where he meets the Self and the most delightful personality, bursting with bliss and delight, the Supreme Lord himself. So I say like this, and if they have enough time to listen to all this, it only takes 2 minutes, but nowadays everything is so fast. I have also abbreviated version. I say, I meditate, that's the sign. Why don't you also? And then I continue my catching my airplane. So, yes, I personally feel in my own journey of meditation, and I really wish to share this, I feel some sense of enthusiasm coming into my London tired body now. I feel, my dear people, this meditation is nothing else than inner hygiene. It helps you to get rid of the obstacles, the pollutions, all the problems life throws at you by going into the temple of your heart, contacting the Self and the Supreme Lord, and then going into the world. It's very important, going into the world with this newfound enthusiasm, this newfound spirit, this newfound energy, and doing something in the world which changes it for good. I think just like you do physical hygiene, least some toothbrushing and some wiping of the face. I think every one of us does, if not a complete shower, like we do in the morning. Huh? Just like you do this, you need also inner hygiene. And this is done through the art of meditation. It helps so much, both yourself and the bird. Sometimes people think, oh, if I meditate, I will become passive. Like this example of Gogopal, the monk who was in Berlin on the bank bench, and he was attacked and he didn't do anything. Sometimes people think, I don't want to become like this. I'm an active person. I'm bubbling with energy. I have so much to contribute to the world. I want to do this. By all means, you should do this. See, when you step back from the painting of the life, the idea is not to leave it. The idea is to just gain perspective and come with fresh energy and fresh inspiration to the painting of your life, and changing what needs to be changed, and improving what can be improved. And of course, learning to tolerate with that which cannot be improved. For instance, my terrible language of English, I have not really improved. I still have a hard German accent, you know. I have to tolerate it. I won't speak like my assistant, Gaur Krishna, who has a wonderful British accent. Which I am fully jealous. I'm joking, I'm not. The ultimate goal of the yoga tradition of meditation, and it depends on you how far you wish to go. If you want to go to the goal, or if you just are satisfied with this two-way, you know, going inside and going from the inside to the outside again, and changing it really with newfound energy. The ultimate goal in the yoga traditions, and I'm addressing now those who, let me say, have already made contact with a bona fide spiritual path, or with those, I know a few people here in the room, and I want to also address them this evening. The ultimate goal is to disentangle the self from the cycle of birth and death, or reincarnation, and to give it wings to fly, if you so wish, to give the self a means by which it can again go into the spiritual world, where it will live in a totally transcendental body, a spiritual identity, and exchange the most amazing relationship with the Lord, which is which goes beyond the scope of this lecture. But I wanted to mention that you can go really deep in meditation. But for beginning this art, I want to just introduce to you now a practical exercise. Are you ready to make a taste of meditation? Or have a taste? I think we all acknowledge these spiritual matters are things which you must experience. Unless you experience something, you do not know for certain what it is. You may have a theoretical understanding, but you know, there was once this man, he was blind, and his friend, who appreciated to drink milk, said, "I so much recommend a daily usage of milk." My friend said, "What is milk like?" The blind man asked. The friend said, "Milk? Milk is white." "Oops, what does white look like?" asked. light is like the feathers of a, is it called heron? It's like a flamingo. What's a flamingo? Asked the blind man. How to explain? He cannot see. But he can touch. Then the man, the seeing man, made this, like a flamingo. He said, here, touch. And then you get an understanding. And the blind man said, oh, I will never drink milk. Milk will get stuck in my throat, you know, like this shape which you have indicated. He was blind. I think it would have been best if the man or the friend would have said to the blind man, wait a minute, I prepare a glass of milk for you. I put a little honey in it. And then I serve it to you for that you can may drink it with full joy and happiness. Like this. So when I explain meditation to others, I want to invite them. Come, let us meditate together. Let us make an experience of something which is very sublime, something which has filled my life with tremendous meaning, with tremendous help, and if I dare to say, with some joy which I can only describe as divine ecstasy. Yes, it's really good. So, all right. You are ready. You said you... Yes?
Yes.
Good. Are you curious also?
Yes.
Good. It's very important. Let me see. Yes, I've prepared something for London. Here it is. I think with this I will give you like a taste and I request you to not take notes now. But because if you want to meditate, you can't do what a student does. I will make a little nice atmosphere. I brought a Bevox candle for you. Make something natural in this concrete building, no? I first would like to request you to just look around a little bit because I will soon ask you to close your eyes. Sit in a comfortable position for you. Maybe you want to move your legs. You don't need to move your thumbs and find out what is your situation. For meditation, it says you should have a steady position where you don't fall or shake. And it should be comfortable. The Sanskrit word is sukham, a happy position. When you are ready, I request you to slowly close your eyes. Now this is dangerous in London because you might give your body a signal it's time to sleep. It's not time to sleep. It's time to learn to become incredible aware. So that you have to give yourself a little reminder. Sleep comes in 2 or 3 hours, or what is your preferred time, but now comes time for meditation. It's a different quality of life. This in a university setting. Let us all appreciate for some time. We will now switch off our busy life and tune into something very energizing and refreshing. Let us appreciate this time which we have together with people who are like us, curious to go into meditation. Let us start with the body. Remember, we will walk through three rooms. We start first with the body. I request you to relax your forehead. I saw a few young people with folds on their forehead, stressful in their life. Just relax the forehead. Relax your eyes. Just tell them it's time to relax them. Your nose. Your facial muscles. Your mouth. Throat. Shoulders. Relax your back. Just tell these parts of your body, we can now be at peace. We will soon meditate. Relax your arms, your hands, your stomach, the legs, knees, feet, and if you can, your toes. While you relax, keep your spine erect. Remain position. Examine your body. Feel the sensations. Do you feel relaxed or are there any tensions in your muscles? Do you feel your feet? Are they warm? Are they cold? Are there feelings of comfort or feelings of displeasure? Simply observe the sensations and let them be. Now focus on your breathing. Inhale and observe how first your belly and then your chest rises. Exhale to observe how your chest and then your belly sinks in, going towards the spine. Whenever you breathe, you can relax a bit more. Deep inhale. Deep exhale. Deep inhale. Deep exhale. Find your own rhythm.
Stretch a little, just remain in this space for a while. We will now progress. We will do a wonderful meditation called a mantra meditation. The Om is a monosyllable mantra. Why is sound so powerful? The reason is it has a certain sonic energy, especially divine sound, has absorbed the spiritual energy. I would like to give you an example. Look at these small symbols. If I would put them into fire, the metal would absorb the fire and become red, hot, and glow. Paper can't do this, cloth can't do it, but metal can absorb the energy of the fire. The sound has the ability, the spiritual sound, to absorb spiritual energy, and when it is a mantra which is relating to the Supreme Lord, whom I call in my tradition Krishna, I think you you have also some concept of a divine presence, if it's good enough. When the mantra is contacting that type of sound, it absorbs his presence. Like this metal, when it's long enough in the fire, it really stops to be just metal. It is also fire. I could put it here on the table, and the table would be incinerated and create a nice spectacle in the university. You know, the metal is no longer just ordinary metal. It is fireized. So a mantra is also fireized, or if you want, godized. That's a new English word. I don't think you have it in your language. It's a good word. It really is imbued with the divine presence, and it has this. So we have put this mantra here on the card. You know, our mind is often so restless, often so disturbed. It goes here and there and everywhere. But when it can grab onto a mantra, it becomes liberated from this. Man means mind, and tra is that which delivers it. I would like to give you an example from South India. Processions, elephants go through these narrow lanes with their trunks. They go left and right, and they grab an ananas and banana here. And that's a problem, at least for the poor shop owners. In the same way, our minds are like the trunk of the elephant that grabs onto this idea, it grabs onto that anxiety, to that, and so on. And it is not peaceful any longer. So what the elephant man, the Mahout, does, he gives the elephant a little stick. Once it holds the stick, it is peaceful. It doesn't any longer go left and right and create havoc. So when the mind grabs onto a mantra, it becomes just so peaceful. It becomes so vivid. And I think we can already feel this room is this room is different. It is omized or fireized, or whatever you want to say. So if you have these divine mantras, my dear people, and chant them, it's the easiest form of meditation. And what you feel is immediate the results which you have when you do hundreds of years meditation, or for meditation for a prolonged time. Your mind settles in, becomes peaceful. But more than that, it becomes transparent, so that you can see who you are and who is that last enigma, the Supreme Lord, and your relationship with it. So I want to sing with you a mantra. We have prepared this. The way we do this is I will sing this one time alone, and then we sing it in unison. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mindful.
Don't react to it. Just see it, and you will see something, a good fresh outlook will come. Another second very nice tip is what you did, what we did in the middle. We just simply were breathing deeply. It's called, comes a medical term, I don't know if it is known to non-medics. A deep diaphragmic breathing. Does this mean something to you? This diaphragm, it's here. Just you breathe. In our cultures, we know when someone is a little upset, we say, take a few deep breaths and everything will be alright. Because the breath is a bridge which goes deep into your mind and connects you there. If you wish to go even deeper, you can do what we have done just now. I have brought, a few CDs, Sacred Space Meditation CDs with us. I can, yes, they're there. You can purchase a CD if you wish. If you have no money, just talk to me. I'm the author of the rights.
He can inform you about everything.
refreshed. Oh, good. It was a lovely evening. Thank you so very, very much. I'm really impressed by all of you. Because why? Is it just do I sneer? Do I just say something cool? No, it was really a very, very perceivable atmosphere. What do you think, Gokrishna? Gokrishna is with me on the stages of the world. We are the Gokrishna Bhajan band. And he knows better than me. It was impressive. Yeah. What is
uplifting?
Thank you. I had a cold. I was not singing so beautifully today, like a frog. No? But it doesn't matter when you go into the mantra. It's not up to you. It uplifts you to a much, much, much more wonderful place than you could ever get on your own with your own strength. I will now secretly, without your notice, look at the wristwatch. So I'm a little late. If you have a quick question, just so that we interact and that I hear your sound also, please ask if there's a question. I would like to answer it. Still in a meditative state. Certain areas, but if you want to meditate, you should be in a receiver mood for what comes. It's like this cup can only become filled when it is in this attitude or position. It's like this. It can rain for as long as it wants to rain in England. That's long. But it will not have a drop of water inside. Huh? So when you chant the mantra, just be in a receiver mode. Just sit down in an open way, not closed like this, an open heart, and just be there in this receiving mode, and something wonderful will be given to you. Thank you very much. That's a very wonderful question. I wish you all the best in your mantra meditation. And here, be regular. I think the English people should get a gold medal for inventing the hot water kettle. They are tea drinkers, I understand, a tea drinking nation. And it was the first time in India where I learned, and not India, England, India is very last in these things. where I saw a hot water kettle, you know, pour water in it. And what I learned is, because mine was not functioning so well, you have to have a ready supply of electricity. If you pull it out, or in my case, it had a function, not function, it was something was, how do you call this when the electrical supply is interrupted? It was something was loose here. And it, what?
Short circuit.
Yeah, short circuit. I'm looking for something like when this is loose, you know, and sometimes electricity comes and then it doesn't come. Then the water never gets warm. You have to have a steady supply of electricity. In the same way, when you start your mantra meditation, be regular. If you always interrupt it, then you always have hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. It should be steady, regular. So be open and do it regularly and expect miracles. Now I've really gone over time. I know that some of you are menacing, you want to stop. I don't want to be impolite and just go walk out on him. Now I'm stopping officially. I thank you once again very much. I wish you all the best and hope to see some of you again. Good evening.